The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Howdy, yokes. Before we get started today, we just want to let you know that this episode of Bacon and Eggs is brought to you by you. We want to build this thing to be as big as it can be. More episodes, merchandise, events, giveaways, you name it. But we can't do it alone. If you enjoy this episode and want more Bacon and Eggs, head over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/baconandeggs. That is BACONANDEGGS. And check out our new $5 tier, which grants you access to our show after the show, The Hash Browns, which I've just got to add is a very clever name. Well done, guys. It's a bonus episode in which Ethan and myself answer all of your questions, all of them, and we could really use your help to make this podcast the best it can possibly be. So thank you for donating, and thank you even more for listening.
Howdy, yokes, and welcome back to Bacon and Eggs. I'm Tyler Carlin.
And I'm Ethan Edgehill.
And today we're going to the land of the dead.
Or maybe we're just visiting our family.
So steal your great-grandfather's guitar.
And remember me.
Because today we're bringing you...
Coco. Thing to call this movie.
What are you talking about? It's about Coco.
It's not. It's about Miguel.
No, it's about Coco's memories.
Coco's mom.
It's about Coco's memories. Anyway, directed by Lee Unkrich. Released November 22nd, 2017, just 724 days ago, which seems more recent than I would have thought. On $175 gajillion budget, made $807.1 gajillion back, 97% critic rating on Rotten Tomatoes, 94% audience rating, and an 81 on Metacritic.
And in case you haven't guessed, today we're joined by Seamus Gorman of
SeamusGorman.com. The most talented YouTuber in all of England. His name is Seamus. He's very talented at what he does. He's like Casey Neistat, but British. He's the future of the internet.
I appreciate the flattery. Also, just on the topic of Coco, I really don't think any of the Pixar titles really make that much sense, like when you really look at them.
Oh, this is like your brand,
isn't
it?
Toy Story, A Bug's Life,
okay,
Cars.
Beyond like the obvious ones. Like, for example, like Inside Out. Like, when's that ever said? Or Brave, or Onward.
That's a good point.
Brave is definitely, there's definitely a line in Brave where Meredith's mom is like, "You got to be brave for me, like a princess should be."
I know, but like, other than that.
She's like, "But mom,
I'm pretty sure,
it's just me, bro."
I'm pretty sure the word Coco is also said in the film Coco. I'm pretty sure it's said a few times, actually. So,
but it's about like nine people that aren't Coco.
No, it's about Coco. It's all about Coco's memory.
And also, there's more controversy around it because they literally like tried to trademark the words like the El Día de los Muertos. And they actually tried to trademark that Disney, and then like they got so much backlash they ended up calling it Coco.
Yeah, I bet.
What's wild is they just keep saying Día de Muertos anyway. They don't even put the full name.
They don't say Los.
Yeah.
Oh, do they not? I didn't even know that.
No, the whole time they say Dia de Muertos.
You have a Spanish degree, don't you, Ethan?
I do.
Yeah, I can tell.
Is that by chance a regional thing, Ethan?
I have no idea. I noticed that there are nine people in this movie that sound like Lin-Manuel Miranda, though.
I didn't listen for Lin-Manuel the whole time.
What'd you say?
I didn't listen for Lin-Manuel at all.
Lin-Manuel isn't in the film, is he?
He's not.
No, I don't think so.
But there was like nine other people where I was like, is that Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Remember
that Gustavo?
Me.
The mariachi? Are you Lin-Manuel Miranda? It wasn't.
Man, Ethan, so this was your first time seeing this movie. I'm going to go ahead and give you my binary review. If you've listened to the show for a long time, you know that I forking love Coco. So I feel like all people have to see this. And
Well, before we give our binary reviews, do you have a positive review for me?
My positive review is that it's a one. I have positive reviews on Hocus Pocus pulled up right now, which I don't know how those came to be.
I have a negative review from Matt Oakes of Silver Screen Riot, and he says, Coco hits all the right notes, but still feels like the same old song.
What?
Oh, no.
I think that's a very bad review in terms of quality.
Well, it's got a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's kind of hard to find a negative review for these freaking Pixar movies.
That's true.
I'll tell you, this is a positive review from David Jenkins from Little White Lies, which isn't that a TLC show or something? He says it's not top tier Pixar, but decent enough. And that's a positive review.
That was the positive review.
Is one of you like opening a tasty cake? Yeah, what is going on
there? I'm opening sweets right now. Sorry about that. You can cut my audio when that's happening if you really want to.
That's fine. I was not sure that whether or not it was you or Tyler. And if it was Tyler, like while he was talking, I was like, can you just do that another time?
So Charlotte O'Sullivan from the London Evening Standard, less, as we all know to call it. Charlotte says, it's funny, irreverent, and eye-popping. It will also make you want to cry at least once, but possibly as many as 3 times. 5 out of 5 stars. I think I cried.
That's very specific. 3 times. 3 times. Yeah. Like, I mean, I can think of more than 3 moments where you could cry at this film, so...
Oh, yeah. But the thing is this, as much as I liked this movie didn't make me cry.
Get out of town.
I'm serious. It didn't. I don't know what it is, but I have a harder time, like, connecting with the Pixar movies that are about people.
Okay.
I don't. This one was about skeletons.
Where were you closest to crying?
But it was about people. It's like, but you know what I mean? Like, I prefer the Pixar movies that are about things.
Like toys.
I cried a lot.
Yeah, this
I did not cry. I was waiting for the cry. And I could definitely see moments where I was like, oh, that's really adorable.
You didn't think the part where Mommy Melda gets like stops her through the gate and she's like, you shouldn't do music. Family comes first. And he's like, but family's my priority. And then, oh my gosh, that's like right in the beginning of the film too. Oh man, now I'm messed up.
When I think like, the saddest parts, I think, are like the bit when like Hector's disappearing, or when he like plays the song for Coco.
Mm. Yeah, when Miguel plays the song for Coco, I definitely was like, it was right there. Yeah, that was a moment.
Oh yeah, I'm out.
Actually, it wasn't even when he plays the song; it's when she starts singing with him. I was like, oh man, that's a good beat.
It's really well acted as well, because you can like fully hear his voice shaking.
Yes,
I love that.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, this one was exceptionally voice acted.
Was it pretty enough for you, Ethan?
Oh yeah,
nice and colorful.
Yeah,
very colorful.
They definitely got the aesthetic right, but at the same time, this like looked less like a Pixar movie to me.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that's to do with who directed it.
Well, and I think it's also just to do with like the subject matter. Like it skeletons are inherently not Pixar.
Okay.
You don't think like there could be a Buzz Lightyear skeleton toy?
I mean, it would be a Buzz Lightyear with a skeleton head, which would be horrifying.
he
wouldn't have like skeleton. He's in a spacesuit. He wouldn't have skeleton fingers.
I don't know. I made a video. About
like, I would buy like pop vinyls of like Sugar Skull versions of all of the Pixar characters.
How much did you spend on that?
Let's see. I would buy probably like a dozen of them. So like, what are they? Like $11? Can't do that math. What's 12 times 11? 132.
Yeah.
Sure.
$132.
What about British pounds?
I don't know what the exchange
rate
is right now.
Quite well. That would be about about 100 pounds, 105.
What does a pop figure cost in England right now, Seamus?
I don't know. I don't really collect them at all.
Hmm. I have 7 Thanos pops.
7?
No, I have 9 Thanos pops.
I get given them a lot, and I don't really know what to do with them because I don't have a collection. And I'm the kind of person who would take them out of the box, but no one does that.
Oh, yeah. All of mine are out of the box.
And it's
all
like, six of my Thanoses are still in the box.
So one isn't.
Three.
One isn't. Yeah, I've got a regular, like, standard Infinity Gauntlet Thanos right here. But I have the chrome ones, the Walmart exclusives, of all of the different colors of the Infinity Gauntlet. And those are just still in the box because there's 6 of them and I don't know what to do with them. And I have 2 mini Thanoses, and I have reason to believe there's like another one sitting in the PO box.
Wow!
Because they just came out with casual Thanos.
Casual Thanos. I still call him Thanos, not Thanos, because Thanos sounds really weird from me. It's like me saying the
howdy
word.
Y'all.
Like
today we're going to talk about Thanos.
It's like me saying Wakanda. Like it can't sound right. No matter how hard
Wakanda.
I try. Wakanda.
It's Wakanda.
Wakanda. Wakanda sounds...
Wakanda.
Wakanda.
I just go Wakanda, but like Wakanda. Everyone tells that's me I so pronounce weird. It wrong. So, but I mean,
but
like,
yeah,
I
just, it's not like you watch the movies and you're like, oh,
Wakanda forever. Like
Wakanda.
Yeah. But like if I start like trying to do it in like a African accent, I feel like I'd be being insensitive. So, like.
Wakanda's not a real place.
Yeah, I know it isn't, but like it's done by real actors who are from African descent.
From
with real
America.
Accents.
I mean, yeah, it's done by a lot of Americans pretending to be Africans.
Oh. But like African Americans.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will grant you that detail. Yeah. Yes.
But like Chadwick Boseman is American.
Yeah.
Shut off the island.
I do not want to see that movie.
It looks so bad. Nothing about the premise entices me.
Is this the one that Anthony and Joe Russo are doing as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen the
three trailer for it in cinemas? And I was like, oh, it's Black Panther. But
no. Not quite as cool.
Not quite.
Brooklyn forever.
You know what? If they let Ryan Coogler do it, it probably would have been a better movie.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I can see that.
I think Ryan Coogler could direct Chadwick Boseman in a black New York cop movie.
In an interesting way, I actually really like the direction Anthony and Joe do with Black Panther.
Man, I'll tell you, that's a word that you pronounce wrong.
Panther?
Anthony.
Oh, Anthony. Can't spell Anthony without Ant. That's like a whole Ant-Man plot detail.
Right, but you
that's
also
true.
it's also th makes a sound.
Yeah, I know it does, but I can't pronounce ths. Just
I'm well aware.
You're
one of those British people.
Either way, I actually really like Black Panther in like Civil War, Infinity. They've directed more films with Black Panther in than right. Like they've done three of them now with Civil War, Infinity War, and Endgame.
Yeah, he was so in Infinity War. He's such a major character.
Very major. I mean, he's got a big more lines than Endgame, right?
I guess he does. Yeah, he doesn't say anything in Endgame, does he?
He might say Wakanda forever once.
Wakanda forever.
Oh no, he says, he has a good line.
He says Ebon Bay.
He has a good line. He goes, Clint, pass me the gauntlet. And you know why that's important? Because in Civil War, Clint like fires the arrow and says, yeah, I haven't introduced myself. I'm Clint, by the way. And he goes, I don't care. But he remembered the name in Endgame when he goes, Clint.
Look at you! Seamus, attention to detail, Gorman. You're like the British Casey Neistat, I tell you.
You're like the British Jonathan and Ben Carlin.
Just combined into one.
What?
Like combined into one. Doesn't that make me Tyler?
That according to all of the Instagram comments ever, yes. That makes
how many
you
people
me.
Have told you you look like Jonathan Carlin?
Me or Tyler?
You.
I don't
you.
Think I've ever been told I look like Jonathan Carlin.
People are never like, hey, wait, are you Jay Carlin?
Well, this will guarantee you at least one Instagram comment.
No, this podcast, yeah, probably will. Someone's probably being clever and typing it out right now.
Oh, I know exactly who it's going to be, too.
You have some money on that? So, Coco, Ethan, your first experience with it, Coco.
I have a great first Spanish experience with Coco, but I'll let you tell yours first.
Well, my first experience was today. Like, you're hearing my first experience.
I just want to ask you a quick question, Ben. Or not Ben. Ben just texted me. I want to ask you a quick question, Ethan.
Ben also just texted me.
Ben also
maybe
just
texted
both me.
Of us.
No, he just...
Really?
No.
Okay.
He actually like, did just wow. tweet, and I have his Twitter notifications on those, so I do actually have a notification from Ben. But, like, that's just a major...
Did you get Ben's tweets? That's awesome. Okay, Ethan, so I have this direct message on our Instagram. It says, okay, please explain. I'm currently listening to the Detective Chikapoo episode, which I feel like, well done for knowing what I named the file. Tyler was singing Remember Me because of Carlin Brothers Coco, promo code bacon for 10% off. And Ethan said he hasn't seen Coco in a long time, but he had seen it. And then you went into a discussion on Netflix's Ted Bundy and Red Weapon Cameras. Again, please explain. P.S. Love the show. So Ethan, you have gone on record as a viewer of the film Coco.
I said I hadn't seen it in a long time, and never is a long time.
Never
Next
is
question.
Longer than a long time.
He also said... he tweeted to John Negroni. Do I pronounce that right? I always worry about that. Negroni.
That
you pronounced that one right, yeah.
Yeah, oh, okay.
You can say like Negroni.
He tweeted to John Negroni on the 24th of September 2018, so over a year ago to the day. And I'll quote, Coco was an instant classic. So
here's the thing. here's the thing. I missed it when it came out in theaters. I just, like, was busy or something and just didn't get around to seeing it. I don't really know what I was doing in November 2017 other than making this show, which took up most of my free time back then.
It did. Yep.
And it was just one of those things where it's like, I knew we were going to have to review it, but I also didn't want to deal with the whole, like, what? You've never seen Coco. And, like, I knew we were going to get to it eventually, so I figured I might as well just hold off for the day that we review it on the podcast. Like, I intentionally sort of avoid movies that I know we're going to eventually review because I would rather just give my first impression on the show.
So you lied.
Yes.
Have you also not seen Jurassic Park?
Never. Not once.
You haven't seen Jurassic Park? Together.
No, I've seen Jurassic Park, Seamus. I've seen Jurassic Park like 50 times.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, I was about to say, you have an episode on that. I've listened. Okay, I haven't listened to that episode, but I would listen to that episode.
I have seen Jurassic Park. There. I had not seen Coco.
You have seen
It's
Coco
like it's a Pixar movie. I could piece it together well enough from like things I've heard about it.
So did you catch the story? Like, were there any surprises for you?
No, I think this is one of Pixar's more predictable movies.
Oh, man, maybe I'm just dumb. I first watched it, I was like,
I don't know what's going to happen next.
Well, it wasn't necessarily, I don't know if it was predictable or whatever, but it was like, I sort of got the feeling that Ernesto de la Cruz was not his grandfather before we even met Hector.
See, the thing is, I don't think that was the twist. I think you were meant to know that. But I think...
But then once you meet Hector, it's pretty obvious that it's him.
Okay, no, I wasn't saying Hector. Oh, wait, no, because...
It was not to me. I was like, it's Ernesto de la Cruz, and he made it, this is a great story.
I think the twist is that Ernesto killed Hector. Though.
That's definitely true.
Like, that was the real twist. That's like the flashback scene where it's like, oh, no. So,
no, Miguel, I am your father.
I am your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, I think you mean.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's my abuelito.
Abuelito.
So I actually have a really interesting story from the first time I went to see Coco. I don't know if you guys... Did I know you guys in 2017? Probably slightly, but not well. But basically, the film didn't come out... Because you said earlier it came out on the 22nd of November in the US. Probably for the Thanksgiving release, I imagine. In the UK, since we don't have Thanksgiving... And I believe The Last Jedi was coming out at Christmas, so there was no logic releasing it at Christmas time. They didn't release it until late January, early February. So it didn't come out quite a bit later. So I actually went to the Netherlands to see this film. On the 29th of November, I think. And it was a great day. It was, honestly, I always look back and I'm like, that was a really fun day. And I loved that film a lot. Like, I associated it with a lot of positive memories. It was a very memorable day.
It's a film about memory, so that's cool.
So did you just go to, you went to the Netherlands just to see the movie?
Yeah.
Did you see
Wild?
Vegard?
Vegard doesn't live in the Netherlands.
He's from Norway.
They both start with N. They're both east of England. They're the same place.
I mean...
Most of the world is east of England.
Yeah.
Correct.
I mean, everywhere in the world is east of England from a perspective.
From a certain perspective. That's
true. You know, like, England is where they decide
maybe
east,
Scotland,
right?
Because that's the north of England. Can you get...
That's true.
And I guess everywhere south as well, like Portugal and...
A lot of stuff is east of England.
But like Glasgow is west of London. It's also north, but I think it is west.
Okay.
Man, do I know where Glasgow is off the top of my head? Did I get that right?
I mean...
I don't know where London is. When I look at England, I just think that's London.
I mean,
London is
southeast. London's like southeast, yes.
That's okay. That's probably what I would have pointed if somebody was like, no, more specific.
Like, if you like point to like the bottom right corner.
Oh, yeah. I got it right.
I mean, yes.
Boom.
Most places are west of London, though.
I would go like three quarters down on the island and then to the right. Is that where London is?
That sounded about right.
Okay, then where's Wales?
Like
the west of
London. You know, like when it looks like a pregnant lady, like with the belly poking out.
Uh-huh.
That's where Wales is.
Okay.
That was a really nice analogy from me. I've never described the Great Britain as a pregnant lady before, but...
Well, she does birth many colonies.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not. People, I think it's up in the air.
I think, yeah. Some people like us for it. Some people don't.
Some people are not so crazy about colonizing.
Actually, all of Scotland is west of London, technically.
Yeah, I would have said that might be the case.
But I was thinking, like, if you turn the island, like, straight, you know what I mean?
England does not look like what I thought it looked like. If somebody was like, hey, draw England, I would draw it wrong.
Well, drawing England's quite weird because it's on an island connected to like other parts of the same United Kingdom.
But not the. If somebody
said, okay, but I okay, maybe I'm saying this wrong. If somebody said draw England, Scotland, Ireland, Northern Ireland, and Wales, I would not know how to draw that.
Those are two islands.
Yes, I know.
Mm. Okay,
I only know that because I'm looking at a picture of
them. No, that would be easy enough. But.
Yeah, England kind of looks like a Pokemon.
Okay.
It's the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
I actually saw a thing the other day about Pokemon saying which London tube station sounds most like a Pokemon, and it really intrigued me. And I wanted to look up every tube station and see which one sounded most like a Pokemon. Maybe this is a discussion we could have in the episode of Coco.
I believe it is. Pokemon.
Pokemon.
Yeah.
I'm already...
You know
I'm
what? The Alabrijes in Coco are kind of like Pokemon, so this is related.
Oh, definitely.
Like,
that's exactly
Pepita,
what that is, yep.
Which is...
Holy crap on a cracker. There are so many tube stations.
Yeah, I'm buying you time. You guys can have a look, and I'm going to talk about Pepita. Pepita would be a really good Pokemon, I think. Like, Pepita's the, like lion thing. The one that, like, the lady has. What's her name? Imelda.
Imelda. Mummy Imelda.
It's, like, the one with wings, and it's, like... It would be a super OP Pokemon, I think. Like, I just...
Oh, yeah.
It would probably breathe fire. It can fly. It's, like, a Charizard, but... is a lion as well.
The way you say Charizard is funny.
Yeah, I don't imagine I pronounce most Pokemon right. Pokemon's what taught me that Americans write mum with an O, because I always thought it was spelled with a U, and I thought the Pokemon game just spelt it wrong for the entire game. I was like, that's a really bad typo. And then when I was like 12, I realized.
Can I tell you about mom and mum? So I remember like the first, not the first, but when I really got into like British culture when we were going to London, I got like super into Doctor Who. And the way they say, I guess it's your version of ma'am.
Yeah, we don't
like,
really respectful... ever say it, but yeah.
No, but you say mom.
In terms of, you know what I instantly think of when you say this? Argus Filch in Harry Potter, and he says it to what's it called, Minerva McGonagall. He says, oh, I'm sorry, mom. And yeah. Because of that, if you Google
the way he just said,
if you Google Argus Filch, like one of the search results is always, is he Minerva McGonagall's kid? And people are genuinely convinced of it because of the way he said it. I think it's a mixture of the way he pronounced it sounds like the American mom, and that's how I would pronounce the way you say it, but it's like mom. It's a mixture of that, and I just don't think Brits really say ma'am. Like, I would say it's in a very American word. It's like, ma'am, can you, I don't know, like, you say it to the
yes,
waitress
ma'am.
Or something, like.
Yeah, you say ma'am to a woman that you respect.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the way you need to approach the word ma'am, but it is often taken as a woman you respect who is older than you. So, okay, just to go through tube stations, it's definitely not Cockfosters. I just wanted to say that.
Cockfosters is on the end of the Piccadilly line.
Oh, we
it
know.
Is on the end of the Piccadilly
we
line. We That's the only train we took
oh,
when we
I
were there.
Oh,
I
see.
Do
no,
feel...
we changed to the Victoria line a lot. No, not... We changed at Victoria to the District line.
There was one I saw that I felt
dark
like
blue,
could have been...
Whatever dark blue is.
Wait, how are you getting
Finsbury?
To Victoria on the Piccadilly line?
Oh, Seamus, believe me.
Saying,
your everyday use
of
this.
Here. I'm not even looking at a tube map, but...
maybe it is the
Bermondsey.
Victoria line. Is Piccadilly the dark blue?
Yeah.
What's light blue?
Victoria.
Oh, then yeah, okay, that's why I'm confused. Hang on, I'm
thought
looking
they were
at,
the same
still
thing.
Looking at tube stations.
Bermondsey could be a Pokemon.
What?
Bermondsey.
Bermondsey. What are you saying?
Oh, sure.
Did that sound right?
Bermondsey.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
I'm just going. I will have my results
actually,
here in a minute.
Go look down the Jubilee line near Waterloo and Westminster. There's a place that begins with South. Try and pronounce that. I've heard Americans really can't pronounce this word.
Jubilee line. Which color is that?
It's like light gray.
Gray?
Yeah.
Light gray. Where am I looking?
It's under the Thames.
South Quay DLR station?
What? No, it's kind of in the middle of London.
Oh, I'm just looking at a list of the names.
Are you talking about whatever... How would you pronounce that?
Go on, go for it.
Southwark?
Southwark, yeah. Most people say like Southwark.
Well, yeah, it's spelled Southwark.
This is riveting to see you guys.
Coco.
See, there's some that would be like really good if they didn't have like road or town or
I know what you mean. Maybe it should just be
Farringdon.
Like place. If it wasn't Finchley Road and Frognall, it would definitely be Frognall.
Oh my god, I didn't even think of that, but that would be a good Pokemon because you could make a frog type.
Yeah. Well, it'd be a water type.
A water type.
Or some other type, but it would look like a frog.
Yeah. Yeah, Frogmaw's like a second evolution as well, I feel. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
It's like...
second or third.
Do you... wait, did you play the Pokemon games? Tell me more about Pokemon and you, Seamus.
We had the card games at school, and I remember a few of my friends played it, and I wanted to jump on the trend, so I got Emerald when I was about 8, I think, maybe. That was my first experience. We're on my Game Boy Advance. Yep. I actually can still see it. I'm looking at my Game Boy Advance right now with Emerald in it.
Nice. I'm very jealous.
It snapped in half.
Is it really?
Yeah. So I completed it. None of my friends ever completed it. And then I like showed them all how to complete it. I don't know what if I had loads more time than everyone else or I was just really good at the game. And then I got my Swampert to level 100. I'm still one of my proudest achievements to date, actually. And I got Rayquaza to level 100.
At 80, Seamus.
He starts at 70. I think you'll find.
Whatever.
So it was still a pretty big achievement. And I could complete the entire Pokemon League with Swampert on his own from the level 82 without using any like power-ups or potions and stuff.
Right.
I wasn't actually a big potion user in my time with Pokemon. I usually just kind of did it au naturel. If I got killed, I got killed. I'd go to the Pokemon Center.
Natural.
I just don't like performance-enhancing drugs, you know?
Right. But did you play beyond that? I mean, have you to this date every game?
I also got Diamond on the DS, which I think was the follow-up to Emerald. I never completed Diamond. Well, I never liked it as much.
Diamond's a great game.
I've since then started playing on my new DS. I think Moon, but it might be Sun. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't actually played it in a while, but...
Yes, I never got too into those. So I only ask. I come from a world of... every single game, every, you know, complete all to completion, to the metagame, to, you know.
Okay, so. I have a list.
Okay.
These are the 10, to me, 10 tube stations that sound most like Pokemon.
Okay.
You've got Addiscomb, or Coom, yes, possibly. Barbican.
Yep.
Beacon Tree, all one word.
Beacon Tree's good.
Birkbeck. And then you've got two that would be evolutions, which is Chesham and Chess Hunt.
Yeah, okay. Mm.
And then there's Fairlop, Mudshoot, Chute.
Mudshoot is perfect.
Yeah, Osterly, that is good.
And Whapping.
Okay, your pronunciation of some of them was better than others.
I'm sure it's like Addiscomb, Barbican, Beckentree, Birkbeck, Chesham, Chesham, Fairlop, Mudshoot, Osterly, and Whapping.
I'm actually familiar with Osterly because I did my jury service in Osterly.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Jury service?
Were you on a jury? Is that what that means?
Yeah. Well, what do you call
it? Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That could have meant anything, though.
But, like, you know when you, like, do your, like, you're on the jury. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you were like, that's what we call the driving test, I would not have been surprised.
You can't drive.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, maybe it's because he failed his jury service.
I didn't fail my jury service. I succeeded.
Yeah, you're just going down to Barbican Station. Seamus, you would get a kick out of this. You should read Neverwhere by Neil Gaiman. It's a book that imagines that all of the places on the London Underground are real things.
Okay. Did you come across this in your research?
No, it's like one of my favorite books.
Oh, okay. I'll write it down. Actually,
but it's like, you know, there's an angel in Islington, there's Ravens in Ravens Court, and there's a Knightsbridge.
I like that.
Like they have to deal with the Earl of Earl's Court.
I like
But he rides around on a broken down subway train.
Wait, what's it called again?
Neverwhere.
Neverwhere. Is that where with an H or?
Yes.
Okay.
Very, very not the same to Underwear.
Oh, they made a TV series out of it.
A long time ago. Oh. It's very hard to find.
Is it?
It does star Peter Capaldi as the Angel Islington, though.
Are you still a Doctor Who stan, Seamus? Or, like, what is that like being in London?
I'm very confused of the culture? To your use of the word still there, because, I am not a massive Doctor Who fan. Not in the sense of I don't like it. I've just never, ever watched it. So
when I was... when we were talking about Ethan and I's dive into British culture and our brief stint as Anglophiles, when I was at that age, I was under the impression that, like, every year the family sat down and watched the Doctor Who Christmas special.
You know what? That is my mom's family in a nutshell.
Really?
But she didn't carry on that tradition with her kids. And I never got into it. I probably would really like Doctor Who because I do genuinely like time travel stories. And which might sound ironic, considering everything you know about me, but I actually do. I am a sucker for a time travel story. But And I'd probably really like it, but I've never got into it. One day I'll probably get into it. So everyone says like you can just watch it like per doctor. So one day I'll probably watch through, what's his name? I can't believe I've forgotten his name.
David Tennant?
David Tennant ones, yeah.
Yeah, those are... So he is... he's, I think, probably the most iconic of I only watched Eccleston, Tennant, and Smith.
Well, he kind of brought back for my age because it kind of it went out.
And Eccleston did a really good job, and I think had he been, the production value and the writing quality gets so much better when Matt Smith takes over that it's really hard to compare it with Tennant and Eccleston. But because like the quality of television is just so much better. But I think the thing that would frustrate you about Doctor Who is that there is like no perfect continuity. Like it's a different writer in every episode, and his moral code is different in every episode, and his like motivations are different, and the rules are different.
Is it just better to just watch like a single episode, like rather than watch them, just watch them like randomly in like a random order?
I mean, they're like, is no, a I mean, character
there's,
arc.
There's like, because there's an overarching
the season is
plot
a story
of every season.
Yeah.
But there's like, I could probably break a list down for you of which ones to watch and which ones not to bother
you
with.
You know what? I'm down for this. This is my like my, some, my Doctor Who machete order.
Every season has some total bangers, and every season has some total flops. And then there's like the episodes you have to watch to keep the story together.
But there are episodes that you could watch standalone. I think my favorite episode of the show is the Madame de Pompadour episode.
Okay. Yeah, that didn't mean anything to me, by the way. I was just...
Oh, she's a historical figure. I don't know if...
I haven't heard of her.
She was like the mistress to some French
Am
king.
Am I supposed to say I've heard of her and not look stupid?
I have no idea.
No, you could watch the...
Pompadour. Oh, she does come up. After
you can watch Midnight by itself. You can watch Blink by itself.
Oh, Mistress of Louis the 15th. No, I've never heard of her. I'm sorry. Chief Mistress of Louis the 15th.
It's a really
good episode. It is a really good episode. Apparently, it was like a family thing. The Christmas specials are all genuinely very good, at least in the modern era, or the modern era up to 2015. I don't know what happened since then.
I don't doubt the Lord of the Rings is an absolutely great show.
Lord of the Rings
Lord
is
the
also
Rings.
A really good thing,
what
but it's totally
Doctor
different.
Lord of the Rings is also great, though, and if you do like it, you should check out the podcast. That's What I'm Talking About.
Yes.
That was a really good plug from me.
Do you listen? Are you an avid reader of the? Are you a Tolkien scholar?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. Does
that
mean I've
just
falsely promoted something?
No. I just need you to be a guest. So if you could just bang through the first book like it's nothing. We're on the second one.
We're already on to the second book. How many chapters are there per book?
It's way less than we anticipated.
Yeah, really? I'm going to need her to slow down.
Like, because I thought it was like, because the film's like 4 hours long. So I was like,
yes.
I was like, oh, these books will be massive.
Well, they're very rich in stuff going on. There's not a whole lot you can leave out.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can just base it off. I know what happens in it, so I can just kind of skip the first book and then just get on with the second book. Like, I've seen the film. That's like the one thing like a Harry Potter fan said that I'd be really annoyed, but I'm going to say that right now. Right.
There's a very big detail that we learned is not in the end of the first book that is in the end of the first film.
Well, so because they were written as one book and then later separated.
Oh, were they?
Right.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Because the publishers in like 1950 whatever were like, hey, Jim, you cannot release a book that's 4,000 pages long. No one will read it, Jimbo. I think it's John. I think I've been laboring under the impression that his name is James for the longest time. It's John Ronald Reuel Tolkien.
That is fascinating. New things learn every day.
What's a new thing you learned yesterday, Seamus?
What even happened yesterday? What was the day? It was Monday.
What is Monday like for a YouTuber? Do you ever wake up like, oh, dang, it's Monday? Or are you like, oh, just another day in paradise because this is the best job ever?
Honestly, second one. Yeah. what did I do on Monday?
He wakes up every morning and turns on Just Another Day in Paradise by Phil Vassar.
So I woke up on Monday. What did I do? Well, I worked on Sunday because I got my video out on, I got my video out on Monday night.
I
finished my video on Sunday and uploaded it on Monday.
Did you mention bacon and eggs in a recent video?
I've mentioned it like recently enough. I can't remember which video. I think I mentioned it like in the last 6 months.
No. This would have been like the past week, because I woke up one morning.
Pixar tier list, maybe?
Like, yeah, I woke up to like 4 or 5 comments that were like on one of your videos that were like, a comment of Seamus Gorman brought you here, and I was like, what the?
What video?
What the?
Was this like one of my, I think I did. Pixar tier list. I think I made a offhand comment where I, basically I said Monsters, Inc. is my favorite non-Toy Story Pixar film, and that was like the last film I ranked in the video. And I was like, yeah, if you want to hear my full thoughts about that, I was recently on a podcast where I spoke about that and then linked to the Monsters, Inc. podcast.
Hey, thanks, man.
I think that's what it was.
I think I did that.
Well, thank you.
But that would have been the last time. That would have been like a few months ago. Yeah, that does ring a bell. Yeah.
Well, I'm not upset. Well,
let's talk about Coco a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about Coco. What's your...
Because when we do episodes on Pixar movies and then don't talk about them, people get mad.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much there's to say about Coco. Like, I think it's Pixar's best soundtrack.
Yeah.
And in fairness, I don't think it'd be very fair to compare Coco with Pixar's other soundtracks because it's literally a musical. It won the Oscar for best original song. Beating out The Greatest Showman, by the way.
I don't know that I would call this a musical.
Why wouldn't you call it a musical?
Ladies and gents.
No, Ethan, you're going to do it in Spanish, like mariachi.
Chicken! Damas y caballeros, es el momento que esperan. I'm not translating the rest of the words. I don't even know them. Feeling in your bones, sweat soaked through the floor. The most dramatic song about watching a circus ever.
Okay, but why wouldn't you call Coco a musical?
It's got like two songs.
It's got like quite a few songs in it. It's got Remember Me.
The songs for the most part are incidental and do not drive the plot.
Then it's got the song that Hector sings and like reveals the whole thing about like dying, you know. What's it called?
But like nobody just like nobody busts out into song as part of the plot. Like that Moana's a musical. This is a movie with some songs.
To be fair, I feel like a Pixar movie would feel weird if they all just broke out into song in it.
I agree with that.
I don't think that's really their style. This was like the closest they'll get to making a musical.
I wouldn't put it past them.
I could see them making a musical, but like
I could see Toy Story the musical on the Broadway.
Honestly, Toy Story's got a few songs in it. Usually, it has like one song per film, doesn't it? So it's kind of got like the Strange Things in the first one. It's got it doesn't really have one in Toy Story 3, but then it has the Jessie song When Somebody Loved Me in Toy Story 2. It doesn't really have a song in Toy Story 3, and then it's got I Can't Let You Throw Yourself Away in Toy Story 4. So it has like a song written by the second one wasn't written by Ren either, but it has like a song included like to drive the plot in each one.
And somebody loved
you. So that's my only thing is like the music here doesn't drive the plot. It's like it's a movie about musicians, so obviously there's gonna be songs, but it's like it's you know, like literally Hector sings the song because the guy asks him to sing a song.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, Hector's like them not singing just like, isn't
you're
like
dying, make way for a dead body. Chicharron, it's time you knew. When everybody forgets you, you pass on through.
Is there like a final death after the final death? Is there a life after the final death?
Well, they say they don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I kind of hope there is.
Practicing. They dance to an ancient song. Who needs a new song? The old one's all we need.
Or maybe final death is the final death, but there's a stage before life.
Consider the coconuts.
Oh, maybe.
That's the dramatic twist.
Roots and leaves.
It's called Inside Out. When you die, Pixar theory alert, when you die, you become an emotion.
No, because
and then you bing bong out after that.
When you die, you become a skeleton, and then when you final die, you become an emotion.
I feel like this one was pretty easy to slam into the Pixar theory. It's like,
oh yeah, while everything else was happening, Mexico people. Existed.
I mean, it's kind of like there's an afterlife.
There's people,
now, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, at least for Mexicans.
At least for Mexican cities. No one else gets an afterlife.
Well, nobody else puts out an ofrenda.
Yeah, definitely.
Ethan, can you shed some light on what an ofrenda is?
Yeah, it's like an altar to the dead.
Oh, did you learn that in your Spanish degree?
Yeah.
Nice. Did you
I had
learn
enough
about
culture classes
dead,
over
did,
the 8 years that I took classes
did you learn about
in
the
Spanish.
Of the dead,
that,
like specifically?
Yeah, that's cool. For sure. It's like mostly a Mexican Central American thing.
Yeah, actually, so this is a question I have for you now. So when you study Spanish, do you study Latin American Spanish in America?
Or do you study, you learn like, I mean, in high school, obviously you learn Castilian Spanish, which is, that's, you know, like royal Spain Spanish. It's like the Queen's Spanish.
That's what we learned at school, like the Madrid Castilian.
Yeah, but it's like...
Me llamo.
But like in college, I had professors from Mexico, from Honduras, from Argentina, from all over
but
the place.
But you specialized in Argentinian, didn't you?
Yeah, that was just sort of like the seminar that I did, like the senior seminar or whatever, the capstone class was like on Argentinian culture.
Wow.
It just had that kind of lined up with like when I took, like a different teacher gets to teach the class every semester.
Okay.
And like when I took it, it was the Argentine teacher.
Cool.
Argentina is a fascinating country.
Did you know that, Catalan, so like the dialect they speak in Barcelona, is actually probably closer to French than Spanish.
Did you know that you can play the game Trivia Crack in Catalan?
No.
Because I did.
Okay. Well, I was
just,
I tried it once, just for the heck of it, because I didn't know how different it was. Because I remember when I was in Barcelona, it sounded like they were speaking French. That might not actually be true, that it's actually closer to French, but like they have the weird things under the sea, and I was like, oh, that looks like French. And it sounded like French, like French and Spanish fused. And so, Barcelona is close to France, so I don't know.
It's not even a dialect. It is a different language.
Yeah, it's a completely different language.
And that's where like a lot of the crazy names in Barcelona come from.
Yes.
I really want to go to Barcelona.
Yeah, you should. It's like one of the nicest cities I've been to.
I mean, I definitely am going to go, but I don't want to go until they finish Sagrada Familia, which could be any minute now.
Well, you should also...
Is that a new TV show?
That's the big church.
You should also probably not go while there's civil unrest, but...
I mean, that's probably true.
But I mean, I don't know when that's going to be. I went there, like last time I went there was when there was literally like the day they were all like protesting.
Yeah, I don't know if there's civil unrest right now. I imagine there was a lot of stuff
like a couple weeks ago. I saw it on the news.
Yeah, Spain's pretty much been in a state of civil unrest since Francisco Franco took over in like 1941. They've just really never settled down.
Yeah, that's cool. Love the Spanish.
But it's like I learned about Spanish literature and I learned about Latin American literature. They were like different classes. Is that Emily?
It is. She's buying our Disney tickets.
Oh, that's fun.
That is fun.
I know. I'm so excited. We're going to Disney World.
The dancers are practicing.
Sorry about this. You're probably going to have to cut this bit out, aren't you?
No.
Oh, look, there he is.
Seamus is here. Say hi.
Hi, Seamus.
Come on, Sawyer. Come on.
Oh, Sawyer's the dog. I was like, wait, you had another kid?
Yeah, we had another kid.
Yeah, another kid. He was like, come here, come on.
We named our kid after that book with the racist words. Yep.
Which one's that?
Tom Sawyer. Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer. I was going to... No, I wouldn't have got that.
Oh.
The name,
is that
named
the one,
after
is that
Rush
the one
song?
With the guy? No, I don't even know what I'm going to... I feel like I've done it in English class, but I can't remember.
It's Mark Twain.
Mark Twain. Is it the one with the... no, I'm not even going to bother. Like,
it's the one where they whitewash the fence.
I don't know. I can't really remember it well enough. The guy from who kept saying chile, like I kept reading it as chili, but he kept going chile, chile.
that could be
a lot of American literature.
I don't know. Huckleberry Finn. It was probably Huckleberry Finn.
Most schools read Huck Finn. Not a lot of people actually read Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
There we go. You just watched me forget.
But Tom Sawyer is a character in Huck Finn.
Well, the original crossover event.
Yep.
Yeah, this is the greatest crossover event of all time.
The Huck Finn.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Extended universe.
I think it's the Tom Sawyer extended universe.
I mean, right now, it would be like the Tom Sawyer extended universe.
Yeah, because there's two books and a Rush song.
Yeah.
Please, Tom Sawyer, it's high on you! So what film are you guys most excited for next year?
I have no idea what's coming out next year.
I will be most excited next year for Spider-Verse 2, which will come out 2 years later.
Because, like, obviously you guys are big MCU stans, and there's a few MCU films coming out next year.
I have no concept for when the MCU movies
are
coming
out. So
Black
Widow
now.
Is coming out in May.
I don't know that I could say I'm super excited about Black Widow.
I'm not. Like, if it was a real prequel, I'd have been like, super excited, but it's taking place like in between Civil War and Infinity War. And I'm like, do we really need a story at this point? Like,
oh, I don't want any stories inside of the Infinity Saga.
Yeah, well, that's when this one takes place.
Right, I get that. I just don't want it.
Right, we closed the book, we threw it away, we lit it on fire. It's over.
No, Doctor Strange is coming out next May. So there's Shang-Chi, maybe. I'm excited for that.
Shang-Chi is February 2021. Eternals is November 6,
2020. Not excited for Eternals.
I'm still, and then, for me, the pinnacle of next year is probably going to be Soul. But
are they both coming out next year?
Soul and Onward are both coming out next year.
Oh, within the first 6 months. Then, yeah, I'm probably most excited for Soul.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. Even though we don't know anything about
okay,
it.
Okay, so what is? Let me ask you this, Seamus, just to sort of flip the tables here. What's the final goal as a Pixar theorist? Is it for like in the middle of a movie, all of a sudden Woody shows up and he's like, "You got a friend in me, partner," and then he like does some awesome Woody stuff.
What, so you mean like as in with the Pixar theory, what's like the ultimate goal? Like, do we want it to be like confirmed one day?
Right, like super confirmed, like all of a sudden there's like this time travel plot and all of a sudden like
I think Lightning McQueen and Woody have to save a fun experiment.
I think
on the contrary, that Pixar are quite literally doing the opposite of that in making Onward, because I think Onward is a middle finger to the Pixar theory in the sense of like they've created this universe in another world that isn't supposed to be connected to the other films. It's an individual, right. And I like the fact that people are going to keep it going and stuff like that. That's fun, and it will keep going. There's not much they can do that won't be continued, because it will literally just go, yeah, this took place in another planet. This is in another universe. Like, there's nothing you can do once people are starting talking about different planets. Like,
oh, yeah, it's unfalsifiable, like, is the term.
Yeah. So, yeah, because Onward has two moons. We know from like pretty much every other Pixar film, because there are so many moons in Pixar films. I did like a whole like research on this. There are moons in almost every Pixar film. Surprising Easter egg. Toy Story 4 literally ends by them panning up to the moon. So like stuff like that. You just don't notice it though. But yeah, so I think like with I just think it's fun to keep it going. I feel like it'll go on well until people get bored of it. Like maybe once people are like, Onward might be like the catalyst for this, in the sense of people might like now, once people start saying like, once Soul comes out and people are talking about like, how does Soul fit into the Pixar theory? That's when people might start losing interest, in the sense of Onward kind of broke it for me. Why do we care about Soul now? And
but like, how is Onward gonna break it though?
Because it takes place on a different planet. So
right. So does Wall-E.
No, Wall-E takes place on Earth.
Well, it starts and ends on Earth, but it takes place in the Axiom.
Yeah, but the whole plot is that, and the whole Pixar theory goes into the fact that the humans are sent up in the Axiom. Cars lived on Earth because the machines were taking over. The cars then realized they needed human life to survive. They all died off. Wall-E was the last like robot left alive because he was so connected to human culture. And then he went and saved all the humans, brought them back down. And then humans repopulated Earth and evolved into monsters. That's kind of the general idea.
Right. But
yeah,
like,
it was like a radioactive Earth.
But like, yeah. There's space travel, which means there's other planets.
Yeah, I agree. But, I agree, you can fit Onward in, but it's like, it's less interesting.
I'm hearing is that Onward has two moons, right?
Yeah.
So it's Tatooine. It's the crossover between Pixar and Star
Pixar
Wars.
And
done.
Star Wars.
Figured it out. Got it already.
Tatooine has two suns.
That is true.
Right, and if it has two suns, it also has two moons.
That's not how that works.
That is 100% how that works.
Okay, so why does Jupiter have 23 moons?
It has 23.
I think so. That could be
a
random
spouted
number.
Yeah, but also nobody lives there. Jupiter's stupid.
I mean, yeah.
Jupiter's a stupid planet made of stupid gas with a stupid rock in the middle.
What about Mars? Mars has two moons.
Okay, so then Onward is the crossover between the Pixar theory and The Martian, and they're gonna find Mark Watney at the end of...
I do like the general idea that it could take place on Mars, and that's something I've considered, but the planet just doesn't look Mars-y enough. Like, Mars is a very cold, frozen planet, and like...
Right, but once the sun superheats and becomes not frozen
Get
anymore...
Get the flap out of town! NASA.gov. Jupiter, next to the giant outer planets, they have lots of moons.
Jupiter, for instance, has 79 known moons.
79? Oh, wow. I was a mile off.
79. Saturn has 53. Uranus has 27. And Neptune has 14.
Are they like gas moons? Because, like, obviously, like, if you go to Jupiter, obviously it's, like, freezing cold as well, but it's all gas, so you can't actually stand on it. You're, like, it's, like, a gas, not a solid planet.
So Europa is frozen water.
What?
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, it's an ice planet, or ice moon.
Frozen water, though? Or, like, frozen...
Well, that's the theory between, behind, like, I don't a solid 12% of sci-fi movies. You seen Europa Report? I'm still mad. Still mad.
I don't think I've seen the Europa Report, no.
Don't bother. Bad movie. Still mad.
Okay, I get it. You're mad.
Directors of Europa Report, if you're listening, I would like to talk.
Actually, you know what? If you've ever directed a film, ever, I would like to talk.
Specifically, if you directed Europa Report, I would love to just bang my line. I would love to have a conversation.
Ethan, a lot of times on your Instagram posts, you finish them by writing do text. What is that?
Or don't
mean?
Text.
What does that mean?
What do you mean? It means do text. What that means. It's an action item.
It's an action item, but most of your followers don't have your phone number.
Correct.
So I don't get it.
It means text me. I'm having a good time. Straight up having a good time right now. Do text.
I feel like I'm having a good time. About Europa Report.
Yes.
Okay, so the guy you're looking for is Sebastian Cordero, an Ecuadorian film director, screenwriter, and editor.
Available.
I will re-perfect my Spanish to blast this guy a new butthole.
Sebastian Cordero. Let me look him up on Twitter, if he has Twitter.
If he doesn't have Twitter, he's not real. That's the way I see it.
No, because the original thing was just like, out here living in the moment, don't text. So I started saying do text, because don't is a negative word. All heads, baby.
Sebastian Cordero.
What is this?
I do not
Who are
think
you?
Has Twitter.
Who are you?
But
Sebastian Cordero.
I do not think he has Twitter. There are Sebastian Corderos on Twitter, but I do not think.
Yeah, it can't be that uncommon of a name.
I don't think he's one of them.
I mean, to be fair, I think like I'm the only person that's seen Europa Report.
You're the only one that's seen Europa Report.
It made $125,000 at the box office.
So that means there are at least like 10,000 of
140. Yeah.
I'm just
That's
saying, like,
if
it's
you're
not
$10
a
for a ticket.
It's not like a winning movie.
Right.
You got an 81% on the old RT.
Did it really?
81.
Well,
yeah.
that's because it was extremely close to being a 100%er. If you chopped the last 3 minutes off, it would have been a perfect movie.
Wait, so I thought you were really mad.
I am, because it's garbage.
But you said it was nearly perfect, except
yes,
for the
and then,
last 3 minutes.
Like I said, if you cut the last 3 minutes ruin the whole movie. It's 89 minutes long. If it was 86 minutes long, it would be a perfect movie.
It's like, the last 3 minutes is that bad.
It seriously is. It's that bad.
How could
yeah.
you have done it better?
Not made the last 3 minutes. It ended.
I'm going to have to see this film. I feel like I have no idea what I'm talking about here.
I have no idea what's going on, but I kind of want to know what happened in these last 3 minutes.
So it's like a found footage space travel movie.
Sorry?
Wow. This sounds like a very much your type of thing.
It is a me type movie. When I first started watching it, I was like, okay, this might be the one.
You know
this
what?
This is my unicorn. And then it ended and I was like, I'm not supposed to swear during this episode.
I'll do it for you.
There are not preschool Fortnite. Toy words for how I felt about the end of this movie.
If I just say Fortnite over you, will that censor you?
No.
Fortnite.
All I'm saying is Fortnite you, Sebastian Cordero. Go Fortnite yourself.
I think the intent of what you were trying to say there is very clear.
Yes. I feel like the yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I think
sure
the word Fortnite clearly covered up the word
Fortnite. Seamus, do you ever play Fortnite?
No, I never have.
It does have Dan Fogler in it, which I did not remember.
What?
Dan
has
Fogler.
The guy from Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see that there's a new writer for the
yes,
Fantastic
I
Beasts
did.
Series?
That
of course.
Was literally the best news that came
yeah.
about yesterday.
Whatever his name was that wrote the other Harry Potter movies.
It's been co-written, though. They're both doing
Steve
it.
Steve Clovis?
That was such good news. That actually shows she doesn't have all the power. Or maybe, like, because I don't think she's, like, requested that. I think they've said, yeah, if we want these films to do... Like, they've had a meeting and they've had, like, if we want these films to do... But, like, the last one hasn't done as well as we wanted. If we want these films to do better, you can't have full control over the story. These need to be co-written. There's obviously been something.
I'm just curious if they can salvage.
It's just so sad because I love the first one.
Yeah, I'm saying.
I just think it's so average.
That second one just felt like such a filler. And it's just, it's so frustrating because it looks so good. My mom was watching it the other day and I kept like looking over and seeing it. And like, it looks so good if you're not paying attention to what's going on.
Yeah, David Yates learned a lot between Seven Part 2 and Fantastic Beasts Part 1.
But like, the story just isn't there. There isn't a story to it. It's like, it's a proper stretched out filler trailer for number 3.
Yeah, there's like,
which
scenes
is hopefully
missing.
Good.
It's not even that there's scenes missing. There's like scenes added that are unnecessary. Like,
no, there's a straight up scene missing in the graveyard. There's a scene missing.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's all very rushed. Like the whole, like I still remember sitting through it first time I've watched it. This is why I went into a lot of detail in my review about it. Is that when I first watched it and it ended, I was like, oh, what, it finished? Because it like, it just jumps so quickly. It takes like an hour just reintroducing characters. You can't spend that long reintroducing characters. Like, we don't need to see Newt at the ministry. We don't for Newt to get to Paris, he's like seen at the ministry talking to some people, then he goes back to his house, he goes into this water thing, then Jacob arrives. Like, there's way too much going on for Newt there that isn't important to the story. Like,
I wish they were either about Newt or not about Newt.
Yeah, it's like they hadn't decided.
Right. They were like, well, we had this great character for the first one, but the rest of these are about Dumbledore, so...
I hope they keep the focus on Newt and Dumbledore versus Grindelwald's kind of like a thing happening on the side. But they also announced it's taking place in Brazil, which is kind of close to Mexico, right?
Man, there will be some fantastic beasts in that movie.
Yeah, well,
But there were also fantastic beasts in Coco. The Alebrijes are, like... Fantastic.
They are fantastic.
I'd never heard the term alebrije before.
No, I had
not either.
Mm. Okay. So that was not a word that...
It was a good touch because it is like a genuine, like, important part of it. And that isn't explored in other Day of the Dead movies such as The Book of Life.
I've seen no other Day of the Dead movies.
I've seen The Book of Life.
The Book of Life. It's good. I think Coco's better. And I think people are stupid if they say they are the same film because they're not.
Although, as soon as I Google searched Alebrije, I recognized these sculptures. I just did not realize that's what they were called.
Okay.
They're spirit guides.
Yeah, they're spirit guides. That's what they say in the film.
Yeah.
They're spirit guides. So they guide your soul on their journey.
But, like, I think that I don't think we ever got to, like, using the Spanish term for them. I think we just called them spirit guides.
Oh, I see. So, el espíritu guide is God guide. Was that?
Oh, God.
The word you're looking for is alebrije.
No, but, like, I was assuming when you did Spanish, you did your, like, lectures and your courses in Spanish.
We did, but not, like, the ones where I learned about Day of the Dead. That was, like, high school, and we brought in, like, cookies and stuff.
Oh, I see.
So these Alebrije statues, these are, like, frozen in time statues, but they're like the Chinese New Year things, and I don't know if that's, like...
They're basically gargoyles.
It's like the dragons.
Yeah. I think Alebrijes are a really cool concept. It's actually like Dante being Alebrije was like a good twist, I thought.
I think
it was
Dante.
Naming him Dante was really heavy-handed.
What does that mean?
I think there's a version of this movie. Oh,
well, like if you wanted it to be a surprise that Dante was a spirit guide, don't name him Dante.
Can you elaborate again, please?
Like
I don't think Ethan's. I don't think Seamus is getting the Dante.
Yeah,
reference.
I'm not at all.
Like Dante, Alighieri, like the guy that Inferno, like that escaped hell, that like mapped it out.
You can see from my expression that I probably should know what's going on here, but I have no idea what you're talking about. This is some mythology.
I know what's going on.
About.
So it's like, it's just one of those things that like, oh, for like kids aren't gonna get it.
Okay, yeah, that's why,
like,
I didn't get it.
No, but it's like no 5-year-old is gonna be like, oh, his name's Dante, he's gonna guide Miguel through the underworld.
Oh, so Dante was like a guide for the underworld in some mythology.
Dante mapped out the underworld.
I didn't know that.
There's a book called Dante's Inferno.
Oh, it's okay. There's a book called Inferno, The Inferno, written by Dante.
Yes, that's what
I hope people
listening. He didn't just
right
like
now,
call it Dante's
I hope,
Inferno.
I hope people listening right now. No, I'm not actually this stupid. I actually got Ravenclaw in my last Pottermore sorting quiz. So, like,
that's not true. I've seen it. You got a Hufflepuff.
What? I know a last one I did.
Yeah, the last one you did was the one you just posted. You got Hufflepuff.
Oh, I did. I chose Hufflepuff, but I did get Ravenclaw.
Oh, wait, it lets you choose? I haven't done it yet. We're saving it to do with Mary Clay on a bonus episode. Oh.
Wait, did you watch my last episode?
We should get on that.
Well, I watched it on mute.
Oh, yeah.
So, no.
That's how you watch a video, isn't it? Watch on mute. Why do you watch a video on mute? That would be like really frustrating.
So sometimes I will go into my YouTube app on my phone. It'll start like auto playing a video, but on mute and with the subtitles. Like before, like instead of you know, clicking it, like before you click on it, just on the search page. Mm. And sometimes I'll just catch myself sitting there watching that, and I'm like, wait a minute, I can click on this and like
hear
it.
I do that sometimes if I don't want to like give someone the AdSense, but I want to like give like the first few seconds a try. Like, to make sure it's okay. Like, I don't want to give someone my money yet, but I want to, like, I want to, well, my money.
It's not your money. You're giving somebody else Google's money.
Yeah, well, that Google money could be mine. I could be watching my own videos.
Yeah, you could be cranking up the views on your own videos. That's a worthwhile way to spend your time.
But, I'll, like, watch it through and, like, just like, test out the water.
I think I watched yours on mute because I was like at work and I only had a few minutes and I was like, oh, Seamus posted this video. I wonder what he got. So I clicked on the video and then I clicked on the end and then I was like, Hufflepuff, ha ha. Here he is talking to the camera.
No,
Hufflepuff.
I actually got Ravenclaw and then chose Hufflepuff.
Ravenclaw. Claw.
I've done a lot of thinking about the house thing and I think if that's how the game works now, I will choose Ravenclaw.
But you've got a context here. The way it works is if you've already done the quiz before, and so basically now you can do more than one go on your account.
Mm-hmm.
So like back in the day, you had to make a new account every time.
Just what the world needed.
So if you get a different house to what you originally got last time, it lets you choose between your new house and what you had before.
So I just have to do it four times. One time being like, how would a brave person answer this? How would a cunning person answer
pretty
this?
Pretty much, yeah.
How would a smart person answer this?
How would a snake answer this?
How would anybody else answer this?
You know those Hufflepuffs, they're really good finders.
Yes.
Anyway, the point is,
anyway,
I think I would choose Ravenclaw because
Harry.
I think we took the quiz again on a video and I don't remember what our result was there. And I still identify with Ravenclaw, but now I feel like I'm not allowed to. And
how do you keep forgetting what we did on that video?
I don't know. It was weeks ago.
I really just,
you were a Hufflepuff, bud.
Was Tyler a Hufflepuff?
Yeah, I got Gryffindor, Tyler got Hufflepuff.
I do remember that, yeah.
This is why, I don't want to remember it.
I posted like a really clever
It doesn't
comment.
Matter, you have to remember it.
I posted a really clever
you
comment.
You resort yourself,
that.
You're a Hufflepuff.
I posted a really clever comment on that video where I said, oh, you got Mike House. And then everyone was, and then, because one of you got Hufflepuff, one of you got Gryffindor, and someone else was like,
yeah.
Everyone was like, which one was he talking about? And I was like, and the clever part. That's probably how I got Ravenclaw, my latest one, because I was clever.
Because you're so clever. I think Americans are so dumb because we read clever as like tells funny jokes.
Do you?
Clever doesn't mean the same to us as it does to you.
I know what you mean. So, well, like that was clever in the sense of like that was a good joke.
Yeah, that's the only thing it means in American English.
No, we'd say like I don't know, like if you got like an award at school, you'd be like cleverest in the class or something.
Yeah, we would say smartest.
Yeah, we would say smartest. Cleverest would be like the funniest.
Well. Like smart it is more American on upon
smartest means most well dressed in England.
Smartest does mean that as well, but like no, if you're saying like they're never used in the same context, so you're like, oh, am I smart in terms of dress or am I smart in terms of intelligence? I've never seen confusion come up between the two of them before.
I don't know what to tell you there.
However, smart.
Anyway,
I also think
guys...
Tyler's wrong about this clever thing.
It's interesting.
No, I don't think I am.
Yeah, I think you're narrow casting here. I think you're reading not enough into it.
So, Alebrije, Dante. I want the dog that Dante is.
Yeah, it's
like an ugly, hairless dog.
Do you know,
with a
it's
giant
actually, it
tongue.
Was specifically put in for what's her name? Who's the artist that's in the film?
The lady artist?
Frida Kahlo.
Frida Kahlo, yeah. Her and her husband, David Rivera, were really big fans of the type of dog Dante is, which I've forgotten. Dante, dog...
Diego Rivera.
Sorry?
Diego Rivera.
What did I say?
David.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Diego. It's called a I can't say that, but Xolointzcuintli.
Okay, I did not know who Frida Kahlo was.
Or a Zolo dog.
Frida Kahlo is a painter.
I know that now
she's
from this Google
the
search. She had a unibrow.
In the film.
Yes, I know who she is in the film. I did not realize she was a real person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Salma Hayek played her in a movie.
That's why they put the Zola dog in there, because she's a big fan of the Zola dog. But she's dead now. But the Zola dog was like her favorite dog. So I think they put that in as a tribute to her, because she got to like pet the dog. But I also think that's just native, like a common dog in Mexico.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it either.
But also, the fact that Dante was a Zolo dog was also probably a massive clue for him being an Alabrije, because apparently it's a Zolo dog are really good for guiding your spirit in real life.
And his name was Dante.
Yeah, so I feel like all the clues were there, really. I mean, I was there...
like I said, this whole movie was a little heavy-handed.
I know. I thought Dante was Nalabrije the entire time, but they kept shutting it down. Like, anytime they're like, oh, maybe he's just a stupid dog. So in the end, they convinced me he wasn't. And then when it turned out he was, I was like, oh, I knew that, but I didn't actually. So it was a surprise. That got a resounding...
So Azolotl is also the Aztec god of life and death.
Yes.
So
foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely some tradition surrounding these dogs.
It's a well-researched film.
For sure. I don't know. It's very good. It just to
where
me.
Does it, where does it fall in the Pixar realm for you, Ethan?
What do you mean?
Like, I mean, you know, I mean, is this better than worse than what is it? Where do how does it rank in your? Compared to Inside Out.
I don't like it nearly as much as Inside Out.
Compared to Toy Story.
Or Toy Story. I mean, I like it better than probably the Cars films.
Wow, that's a pretty big insult.
That's low. Yeah.
What about like compared to like
even the first one, like even the first
one. Okay, what about compared to like the ranks of like Ratatouille or Bug's Life?
I like Cars 1 better than Ratatouille.
Oh wow, well that's wrong.
I'm not a big Ratatouille fan.
So like Brave, the Good Dinosaur, historically, better than them.
Yeah. I mean, no, it's a very good movie. I have a hard time finding like a fault with it.
So you would give it a 1 in the binary review if we get back to that we were meant to do an hour ago.
Oh yeah, we never got back to that. I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good movie. I think that there's like definitely a certain audience that should see it. I think it's probably sort of like a comforting way to introduce your child to the concept of death.
That is, I never thought of that. Yeah. That's
so like I think it's important. It definitely serves like a purpose. I think that like if I was going to like if you know I had a kid and I had like an old relative that was like close to my child but was like about to pass on, I'd probably show them this movie.
Yeah,
as sort of like an intro way of like, hey, Nani's gonna die eventually, probably not that long from now.
You're brutal.
Yeah, they're pretty morbid.
Remember.
But, I mean, but like that is definitely part of why this movie was made. Because what I was gonna say is I think this movie was made more with kids in mind than most Pixar movies.
I think it does a really good job of explaining. Well, I don't know if it's a good job of explaining because I really don't know anything. But of introducing the holiday to American folks.
That too, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, into English and non-Spanish speaking folks.
That's what it's really important for. An actual film about the Day of the Dead holiday.
Right. Like,
it is one of the most fascinating holiday celebrations to me on the planet Earth.
Yeah. And
just the way they look at it. And I think just the Mexican culture, especially the relationship they have with death and with their family and their elders is just absolutely, I think, the right way to do it.
That's why I think people saying it's the same movie as The Book of Life are somewhat disrespectful, because it's like the similarity between them is pretty much that they're based around the same holiday. And it's like, can you imagine if you use that logic to every film based around the same holiday? So there's only allowed to be one Halloween film, one Christmas film, one etc. I can't think of any other holidays. And that's what because I don't think that there are enough films made about the Day of the Dead. And maybe making Coco will encourage them to make more, because I think there's stories to tell around that.
Oh, I think The Book of Life's a great movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never heard of this. But just from looking at the promotional photos, I can see where the similarities are. I mean, there's
it's because they're based around the same holiday, but...
Well, and there's a broad-chested the guy with a guitar.
The guitar part is also pretty similar, but...
Seamus, you should revisit The Book of Life. There's more similarities than you would think.
There are more similarities than I'm giving it credit for.
Yeah. Well, it's just like there's only so many, like, it's sort of the way you would describe every movie about Santa Claus is sort of having something to do with each other.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not just like, oh, it's about a holiday. It's sort of like about the same traditions of the holiday.
Yeah, but I still think it's an important story to tell. And the guy who made the Book of Life was like fully like on board with it, and he was like, yeah, it's celebrating culture, this is great. So
yeah, it's a good movie. It's definitely worth a watch. I mean, I think it's got like a 85 or something percent on Rotten Tomatoes as well, but it did not do nearly as well at the box office.
Yeah, because it was,
I'd never even heard of this.
So. Yeah, that's a big thing. It was an animated movie made by 20th Century Fox. Yeah.
Like Ice Age.
With Diego Luna and Channing Tatum.
Yeah, Channing Tatum was in it. I knew there was someone big in it. Diego Luna is one, isn't he?
Yeah, and Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana's in it.
Yeah, she's the female lead.
She's the most successful actress of all time.
Yep.
By default.
Box office, yeah. she was in Avatar and
Endgame.
Avengers Endgame.
She also was in the most expensive film series prior to Endgame.
The Pirates movies?
Yeah.
Are they most expensive? I thought the Star Wars prequels.
Pirates 4 or 5 cost like $390 million. Jesus. Yeah.
I thought the prequels were the most expensive. Like the Star Wars prequels. They were proper CGI'd up to the... So like they're pretty much
right,
animated.
But like the company that made those movies also owned Industrial Light and Magic. So like I mean those people were still getting paid, but it's like you didn't have to outsource the effects.
Star Wars is coming soon now, you know. What's your thoughts on it? Because I feel like there's this really weird thing going on with Star Wars right now, in the sense of there's not much hype around this film, because almost like people have been made to feel guilty for being excited for it. Because The Last Jedi is just such a toxic, like, topic. And there's almost this resurgence of, like, love for the prequels that's come out randomly ever since the sequel trilogy's come about.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and tweet it right now. I am so excited for Star Wars 9. And then, you know, that settles that question.
That settles
that. Yeah. If you can get Ben to retweet it, that'll really...
Yeah, Ben is a... He's turned his back.
Isn't he like Dark Ben on Twitter? He's excited.
Oh, he's like proper excited for this. I would imagine he's like in the mood for Frozen 2 right now, though.
He is, yeah. That's his real passion.
I'm a fan of the less Star Wars hype right now, because I think that
I think it's good for Star Wars.
It's overall going to benefit this movie more.
Yeah, but the fact is, like, the day the trailer came out, and that trailer was so good. It's one of my favorite trailers I've ever seen. And I like tweeted out saying I loved that trailer. And even something like that was getting negativity around it. And it was like, can't you just let me like a trailer? And it was like,
no, they can't.
The Rise of Skywalker, at least in London, I remember seeing it was trending behind The Last Jedi on Twitter that day. Like, The Last Jedi was trending, then The Rise of Skywalker. And I was like, Scott Nicewander put it really well when he said, like he really enjoyed The Last Jedi, but he's been made to feel so guilty for liking it that it's made him less excited for the film.
I'm literally on Scott's Twitter right now trying to find that tweet, because I thought he put it so well
that
man's got a way with saying things.
Yeah, it like spoke Scott, to me Scott's got on a way another with words. Level. Like, you could make a full video about that and span it out to like 30 minutes, and I'd have been like watching that the minute it went out.
You should DM Scott and tell him that.
Do you think
he would probably cry?
Why?
I don't know. I think that Scott's having trouble with his videos right now. Yeah. I think he's having trouble finding inspiration.
I thought he was like writing a video.
I think he's having trouble writing that video. He's having trouble with something, like publicized troubles with something.
I don't think he'd want me to send him that, because then he might like scrap his current video and start from scratch.
No, I think he would just be like, oh, somebody wants to hear me talk for 30 minutes on Star Wars? That's awesome.
Yeah, I would like to.
I just,
if Scott is listening,
good God,
to this, I do want to hear you talk about Star Wars for 30 minutes. Honestly, if you like wait a month, you've got like a month to make this, and the hype will be like starting to build a little. Like, there will be some hype around Star Wars in a month.
The problem is Scott does comic videos.
He does do comic videos, but I mean, the guy's allowed to branch out. Like, I don't see Scott as a... like only can do one thing. I think Scott's a multi-talented guy.
He definitely is, but I don't know how the video essay about comics community would respond to that.
I just think he just shrugs his shoulders and says, well, I don't care what you think. You need to care what the audience thinks to an extent, but like, trying something new never hurt anyone.
Okay, I think Scott going from, you know, this video is not about Superman, it's instead about Luke Skywalker, is not the same jump as if he was like, I know last week's video was about Superman.
Well, why don't
this
we
week's
let...
video is a sneaker review of the new Nike Air Force Ones.
Why don't we let Scott do Scott's videos?
Right. I just feel like there are...
bigger leaps to be made.
Yeah, I agree, but like, this isn't Nice Talk, a Scott Nicewander podcast about Scott Nicewander's video ideas.
I honestly think a podcast about Scott Nicewander's videos would be something needed to be done. Could you imagine how big it would have to be for someone to make a podcast about you?
I mean, apparently about where Scott is, it seems like, based on what you just said.
Hmm. Howdy, like, Scotes. This is...
Someone should just send this minute of the podcast to Scott so he doesn't have to listen to the whole thing, because I feel guilty for wasting his time.
Wow, thanks. Wow.
When I see Scott on Friday, I'll tell him.
No,
because the problem is I'll be like, hey, Scott, we talked at length about you in this episode, and he's going to be like, oh.
If you guys could see Ethan's face there, it was quite funny.
So the response I got to my tweet, I'm so excited for Star Wars 9, comes from a Twitter user at 5FFC5D6.
What?
That looks like a fake account. But the response is, I hope it redeems the other two movies in the eyes of most fans. Which is kind of like saying, you know, like, oh, I hope all the other people who didn't like... what are the other ones called? Force Awakens and Last Jedi like this one. Although I don't believe The Last Jedi deserved all the hate it did, this movie needs to repair the series, otherwise it will cause severe fan backlash. It's like, this person doesn't even sound like they didn't like the other two movies. They're like, upset that other people didn't
the
other two
though.
Movies.
That's what Scott Nicewander's tweet is all
I am
about.
Also upset that other people didn't like the other two movies.
I don't get why people didn't like The Force Awakens. There's literally nothing wrong with that film.
There's no reason. There's no... Not liking The Force Awakens is an invalid opinion, yeah, and if you feel that way, you're dumb and I'm sorry.
The whole thing is that it's similar to A New Hope, but why is that a problem?
A New Hope's great.
Exactly.
Do you know what wasn't just like A New Hope?
The Force Awakens is my favorite Star Wars movie, and I will not apologize for that.
The Force Awakens is amazing. I respect that opinion highly. I still think Empire for me, but Force Awakens is probably number two. But like, you see people seek like Disney lists, and for some reason, Rogue One is like the fan favorite, and I'm like, isn't that like the worst one?
You know,
it's like a good scene at the end, but
it is
like
it is the worst one. But I revisited Rogue One, and I tell you, revisit it.
I want the movie that it was supposed to be, man. I want the like horrible like Diego Luna as a monster type movie that we were supposed to get.
The thing with Star Wars films is using the worst feels like a horrible word to use with them, because.
No Star Wars movie can be the worst as long as The Phantom Menace exists.
All good. Yeah, that's true. Or Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones was bad.
Splitting hairs, really, comparing. But that's what I'm saying.
I still love both of them. I don't love both of them.
There's been this recent resurgence.
I will straight up tell you.
In this like love of the prequels. People are like, yeah, the prequels like were underrated now. Now we're seeing the sequel trilogy. And I'm like... Are you really trying to say The Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones are worse than this, are better than the sequel trilogy? Because that is a wrong opinion. Like, it's just.
Oh, yeah.
Revenge of the Sith, I think I can have respect for that. I think that's a really good film. That was the first ever Bacon and Eggs podcast I went on, so it holds a special place in my heart. But, like, the comparison of trying to say The Last Jedi is worse than The Phantom Menace, or even The Force Awakens is worse than The Phantom Menace, is like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I agree.
I don't know. Star Wars is great. I'm excited for the new movie. Yeah, very excited. So but much. This has been, like, the fourth week in a row we've talked about how excited we are for Star Wars.
I think that's great, though. The more you talk about how excited you are, the better, because that will convince people who are... Because there are some people convinced, like, no one wants to see this film.
I mean, the thing is, at the end of the day... The series is over after this is made, and it's already made. I really do not care if people see it or not. I don't care if people like it or not.
The problem with people...
I'm going to go see it, and I'm going to go feel how I feel.
The problem with people not seeing it is that it means there's less Star Wars content in the future if it really flops. That's what
I
don't
like. That's the thing. Yeah. It's not going to really flop.
Yeah, I don't think it will. I think the question is...
They're also not going to close the Disney park.
That's true. No, and they're going to keep making the shows and stuff, but they'll re-plan how they're going to make Star Wars movies.
They've also signed contracts for 6 more movies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, the question is whether it makes more than The Last Jedi or not. Because that's kind of like...
I don't see a world in which it doesn't.
Because there's like the Star Wars films have had a theme so far. The first one, so A New Hope and The Phantom Menace, that do massive on the box office because they're like, they're the first one in ages or the first one ever. And they do massive. And that's exactly what The Force Awakens did. Then the second one underperforms in terms of box office significantly. Empire, Attack of the Clones and Last Jedi.
You could still argue Solo.
All followed that like journey. You could, yeah. And then the third one always outperforms the second but underperforms compared to the first. And that's where I feel like it will fall. 1.5, 1.6 million.
Last Jedi made $1.321 billion.
Exactly.
I don't see a world in which The Rise of Skywalker doesn't hit 1.5.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. 1.5, 1.6. And but like a real flop.
It's coming out like it's got a lot going for it. It's coming out closer to Christmas. Mm. It's coming out
Frozen
like it's the last one in the series.
Same Christmas. That's the fear of it.
What'd you say?
Frozen 2 coming out the same Christmas could be a like hurdle for it because there will be an overlap.
Frozen 2 comes out, I guess, in the, I don't know what it's like in the UK, but Frozen 2 comes out a month and a week before Star Wars.
It does come out a month and a week before, but Frozen 2 is like a Christmas feel film, like, and it will still be out in December,
but it will be mostly done.
But Frozen, the whole thing with the first Frozen was that it had legs. It like, at first, it like, the box office wasn't great for Frozen. It just kept going and like cruised through Christmas because nothing came out that Christmas. And I think Frozen 2 could outgross The Lion King.
Oh, yeah.
I think Frozen 2 will outgross The Lion King. I think that...
So by that logic, we have two more in this like already like ridiculous year for box office. Two more 1.5 billion films to come out.
Yeah, I think Disney makes $3 billion in November and December. I don't see any way around that.
The year they've already had, that's insane.
I do think the Disney bubble will burst soon.
What takes over then?
I think... I don't think somebody takes over. I think the Disney bubble bursts and you see a lot of smaller independent films hitting that $1 billion mark.
Well, the thing is, like, I know the MCU isn't done, but like the MCU is kind of done and Star Wars is kind of done.
Yeah. So what takes it? Like, so basically, the way I'm seeing it right now is every decade kind of has like this, like one big thing like that happens. So like for me, like in the two decades I really remember, 2000s, Harry Potter, like, it was just everywhere. That ran the show. 2010s was really the Marvel, the MCU, like, era of, like, a generation, right?
Well, and Disney does have four Avatar films coming out in the next decade.
Is it Avatar? They're going to be the next one for the 2020s? What's going to be the big thing in the 2020s?
I mean, there's no way that Avatar 2 hits what Avatar 1 did.
No way. Not a chance. However, it is one of the sequels I'm most anticipating to come out because, like, in fairness, like, the film gets a lot of stick because it was so popular, but James Cameron has a good record when it comes to sequels. Terminator 2 slaps.
Terminator 2 is better than Terminator 1, for sure.
So, in my eyes, like, that's his track record for sequels. Terminator 2 also, is an amazing film. In a sequel that you probably didn't think could have been done. Terminator pretty much works on its own. Now they've made like 100 of them, and they just
there's like seven. Okay,
and you can go back and listen to the episode that Isaac and I did. But like the one thing that I was shocked is like Avatar takes place in this really rich world that I'm excited to hear more stories from.
Exactly, and therefore, like with his track record, I think Avatar 2 could be really good. And it's like my
and I think that 2, 3, 4, and 5 are going to have more to do with each other than 1. Kind of like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Okay, yeah.
But like 3 was my favorite of those movies, so I think that there's a solid chance that like I continue to like the Avatar movies.
I think I'll really like. I'll definitely go see the second one when it comes out.
I don't know why I would not expect to like the rest of them. I liked the first one a lot, and I think that I will like the next one a lot. I don't.
I think I
saw the first one like 7 times in theaters.
Anytime you put 12, 13 years between a sequel, there's a chance that it's just not going to hold up.
Isn't that what they did with Terminator 2? There were years between them.
I don't know, those both happened before I was born.
Yeah, I know, but there were you can look it up.
I have no concept of when the Terminator movies came out.
The Terminator 1 and Terminator 2.
All I'm getting right now is Terminator Dark Fate.
Love that. Have you seen it?
No.
I think we should do a podcast.
All right, Terminator 1 came out in 1984. Terminator 2
Judgment Day.
That was 91. So yeah, it was 7 years.
7 years.
So
that's quite a long gap. I don't know if it's less back then, but it's obviously not as long. And
between those gaps, all three Back to the Future movies came out.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That is true. You cannot deny that. James Cameron does take a long time to work on movies. Yeah. I mean, he did Titanic for like
side. Like, he's been working on the other Terminator movies. Like,
well, James Cameron like produces the Terminator movies.
Oh, does he not like direct them?
I don't think he has the kind of hands-on role he did with the other ones.
However, this one's got the best Rotten Tomatoes score.
They're actually the last term. His filmography is only 11 movies.
And he's been around forever.
10 that are out.
Yeah.
Okay, so we do need to wrap bacon and eggs.
Do we?
We do.
Are you sure?
Oh, this is the best movie on our list so far.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Wait.
As
for this year?
Oh, if you literally year, just like, started.
Yeah, yeah. We've got like four movies on the list.
What were the first four?
She's the Man, 10 Things I Hate About You, The Zombieland.
And Hocus Pocus.
Well,
and
Hocus Pocus. My girlfriend would kill me if I said Coco was better than 10 Things I Hate About You. So I'm just going to be quiet about that one.
I think that's our current number one.
Is it?
But,
no, but Coco is a better film than 10 Things I Hate About You. But
they're both very, very good. I mean, I think you're...
I've seen it.
I think you're comparing apples and oranges here.
Probably more times than I've seen Coco in this probably the same span of time.
You're comparing apples and fuzzy socks. Like, they're just so different.
We're not talking about the same thing at all.
The thing that impresses me with 10 Things I Hate About You is that Heath Ledger could go from that to his amazing Joker performance.
I mean, I think it makes sense. I think his performance in 10 Things I Hate About You is amazing.
Yeah,
his
performance in everything is amazing. From a rom-com guy to like a proper like drama,
the
like
right the
he
Joker
also does
himself.
It with like over a decade in between.
That is true. That is true. I don't know, I watched The Dark Knight the other day like after seeing The Joker.
Oh, it's so
like
good,
to like
dude.
See if I like every I don't know why, but watching The Joker got me in the mood to watch The Dark Knight. I was like, I need to watch The Dark Knight.
I wonder what the connection was there.
I
feel
no
like
idea.
That would be my only reaction coming out of Joker. It's like, oh man, I just want to watch Heath Ledger now.
But like, it is so good. I was just,
is it better than The Joker?
Have you, like, in my opinion, I think The Dark Knight is a significantly better film,
We're actively avoiding the Joker movie.
Oh, are you? Why?
There's
a lot of reasons.
There's a lot of talk of, like, people planning a, like, attacking theaters and things.
I see.
It's also just like there's a certain fan base that was really excited for Joker that we want nothing to do with.
Oh, okay. I've seen Joker. I think it's a good film. There's been a lot of hype around it. Like, I've seen some people say it's like the greatest film of all time. And his Joker performance is unbelievable, like, in short. But
the thing is, like, if you look at my Twitter feed, the people on my Twitter feed that are obsessing about the Joker movie are people whose opinions on movies I wouldn't trust.
Mm, okay. Well, a fan of movies, it's a good film. Like,
I'm sure it is. I have no problem believing that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when it comes out on digital, we'll, you know, I don't know if we'll review it on Bacon and Eggs, but we will probably see it and
discuss it
amongst each other.
Make
a poll.
No, I think I...
Yep, that's what we do. I call Tyler every week and I just go, make a pod!
No, I think
now
I...
Now this is podcasting!
I think it would be a good film to review, but obviously if there's, like, external factors, I can see why. But,
There was also, like, Tyler had a kid and it was going to be really hard for him to go to the movies when it was first out.
That was very true.
So Frozen was our first theater movie we planned after Olivia was born.
How is your kid?
She's perfect. She's, like, the best kid ever.
She sleeps through the night.
She's super cute. She smiles in the morning. Yeah. It's astonishingly, like, I'm afraid to say this because I know I'm going to have more kids and they're going to be less easy, but it is astonishingly easy to be a parent.
I loved it. That's like one of those things someone like says on a TV show and then it's like seen as like a stupid thing to say, but
right.
So what
I mean
think
is also, you know, I have a two-month-old. She might get much, much worse in the coming years.
I feel like
so far it's pretty easy.
That's amazing that you're finding it so easy. Maybe you're just a natural dad. My mom used to say
a lot of it comes instinctually. Like, she'll do something that's like new and we'll be like, oh, what are we supposed to do here? And then we'll be like, I feel like I'm supposed to do this, and then we'll like Google search it later, like, you know, what are the blogs and things recommend. And we almost always are doing
that's good
what like normal human beings would do.
No, my mom used to say I was like the perfect child of like so easy to look after, like just didn't do anything out of the ordinary. Then my sister came along and was like the polar opposite of like
the devil incarnate.
Well, yeah,
right.
I would just kind of like be very like peaceful to deal with. Like, I'd just be like, just like, if she was like changing my nappy or diaper, it would be a very, very easy. I'd just
my
like
nappy.
Sit there and I'd lie there, it'd be really simple. My sister broke her collarbone to try and get out of my mom changing her. Like, she literally...
That's weird, because I will say I have a daughter and she is much easier to change than my nephews, because there's less parts.
I didn't think of that. I've never changed anyone before, so can't really speak.
It was until I had a child that I had changed somebody. It is astonishingly easy. It turns out it's just putting underwear on.
Is it? I thought it was like doing a burrito.
No.
That's what they say
on TV.
It's
very easy. No, it's way easier. As a breakfast food, this is sugar skulls.
Is there food in this film?
There's sugar skulls.
What's like the food they leave out for the dead?
Tamales.
Is even like looking
tamales in our breakfast.
You could have tamales with scrambled eggs inside.
You could. It'd be kind of weird. It's a lot of corn.
Corn.
You big tamales guy?
I am not, actually. There's something about the texture of the corn. It's like the one kind of corn that I don't like.
What about like...
It's just really like...
What about like a corn-themed breakfast, like cornflakes?
Now, I've only had tamales made by Americans, by gringos. So I'm sure if I had like a proper Mexican tamale...
Is gringo the same as like gajin?
No, not really. I mean, it's the same word, but it's like less... It's kind of less derogative.
Okay, if you called me a gringo, I think I would be like... Okay, that wasn't very nice.
I would feel
it's not nice, but it's not as bad as gaijin. But it's the same, like, it's the same word.
I think it's like a French person saying gringo. It's like, go to gringo.
Although gringo is not necessarily outsider, it's like American outsider.
Oh, okay. All right, so we've ranked the film, we've breakfast fooded the film. What else do we do on this show?
You also rank the villain.
We do a villain ranking. Ernesto de la Cruz.
I think he's a good villain.
I did too. He tried to kill a kid.
Suave. He makes you believe that he's Miguel, because they have the whole scene of like, have you met my great grandson?
Yeah.
And he's like playing polo.
Yes. Have you met my great grandson? That was a really bad.
I think he does a good job. He's all right.
Dimple.
Else do we do on this show?
You also rank.
I thought that was Dimple. Genius.
You also rank the film, but have we clarified it's first on the list?
Yes. It is
number
it is
one
first.
On the list.
I
imagine it. I don't know that it'll stay there for long.
What's the next? Frozen 2 and...
Frozen 2 is not next, because it doesn't come out next week, but...
Can you reveal to us fans this week? What's next week?
No.
No, because we don't know.
We don't know yet.
They're just saying, guys, see no
I have a funny feeling that Frozen 2 is going to be better.
Yeah, I disagree. I don't think Frozen 2 will be as good as Coco. But actually, Disney, who are inviting me to see Frozen 2 in advance, I am very, very excited. And I think it could be the greatest film of all time.
Well, so here's my thing. I think Frozen 1 is better than Coco.
I would agree.
Oh, I wouldn't. That's where I disagree. Tyler, I thought you said Coco was your favorite Pixar film.
Frozen's not Pixar.
Yeah, I know, but like, I would assume that your favorite Pixar film is better than Frozen.
I think Frozen. I don't. I think you're trying to make me pick a favorite child right now.
I just feel like if you implied Frozen is better than all of Pixar films.
This is probably my seventh or eighth favorite Pixar film.
That's quite high. I don't think it would be that high for me, but that's just because there's so many films.
I don't know necessarily where it would fall, but like somewhere between probably between 7 and 13, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, mine's about 10th for me, but I feel like, or maybe just high. It's probably like mid, it's like high tier, but like it's really hard to rank them because like I lose like four films right at the top. So that's like instantly, like the next best is fifth. Like if you take the Toy Story films out, it's like top five.
I like this less than all four Toy Story movies, for sure.
So that instantly just like ranks it quite low. Like it's, yeah.
Yeah, maybe seventh is I was
then you've got like a lot
some,
of films that are like Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, The Incredibles, right, well, like Up, Wall-E.
I like this better than Up, I think. Although I'm historically kind of chilly on Up, where most people are hot.
Up is very good.
Yeah, Up is so good.
Up is good because of the first 10 minutes.
I disagree. Up is good because of the whole thing.
Oh, eh. Tyler.
if you take the little short film at the beginning out, it's much less of a movie.
But Ethan, you want to know something? The short film at the start is part of the movie, so therefore
I know, but like it's just it doesn't it feels like it's not part of it to me.
We need to get to the hash browns. Seamus, it's like 3 in the morning for you. Let's get to the hash browns, ladies and gentlemen. If you want
If you want more delicious bacon and eggs conversation with Tyler and Ethan and Seamus, head on over to patreon.com/bacon and eggs and check out our new $5 reward tier. Check out our new $5 reward tier on patreon.com/bacon and eggs. You listen to the Hash Browns. This week we're doing like a bonus show after the show. Ethan's got a game for us to play. I have no idea what it is, but follow us all on social media and subscribe to Seamus on YouTube. He's the absolute best. The link is in the description below. And he's like the Casey Neistat of Europe. And
where is this comparison coming from?
Seamus like literally doesn't vlog.
It's like the anti-vlogger, right? That's what England is. He's the opposite of a rebellion. So do all of those things, subscribe to Seamus, and then check out this excerpt from the Bacon and Eggs Network, where you can also listen to great shows like That's What I'm Talking About, hosted by the hilariously talented Mary Clay Watt.
It's very dramatic. Like, I feel like the pivotal moment in the chapter is with Boromir.
Mm-hmm.
So something sneaky about someone trying to take the ring.
Boromir ruins it
Boromir
all.
Boromir ruins everything. Hashtag
way to go, Boromir. So
you should rename the chapters. That's what you can do for your next episode. You can make hashtags for every chapter of the Fellowship.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? That would also be a more interesting way to name the episode titles of this podcast, because it's getting to a point.
And
cut.
Our music's by Andrew Scott Bell, and our graphics are by Vaishan. That's it.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Bacon and Eggs. I've been Ethan Edgehill. He's been Tyler Carlin. Him over there across the pond has been Seamus Gorman.
That is me. Arrivederci.
Alebrije.